The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Come on, Clint! Oh. God!
He's still down there. Still there. Yep, he just came up and wrecked the hell out of you again on purpose.
I got Bubba'd. These guys forget it's 150 lap race. Come on, Bubba! Stupid thing!
Y'all have a good one. That's it. That's why I don't take this shit serious.
Peace out!
Welcome to episode 148 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Thursday, April 9th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, I like to leave you in the dark when I've got the intro.
That's so good. You know what? It sounds just like whenever we're done with the podcast and we're, you know, after the record button has, right, you know, been pushed. That's usually how I act.
Yeah. I debated bleeping out the word, but I thought, no, you know, I want the full emphasis in there.
Yeah.
Leaving that sucker good. In. That's
if you're following NASCAR and you don't know what's coming at this point with that thing.
Right. Exactly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're out of the loop.
That's what I appreciate about Blaney's podcast is that they do the uncensored audio clip at the beginning. And, I mean, of course, Blaney's got an explicit rating and we don't, but it's the S word. Who cares?
Yeah, who are they going to come after us? Yeah.
Right. One of our 14 listeners are going to complain. All right. So we had some iRacing again this weekend. We went to Bristol, which was a freaking crap show. Kind of expected it to be a crap show, and I think it ended up being a worse crap show than I even expected. You know, Bristol's a hard track, and iRacing is not easy, and even not easy for drivers that are used to driving cars. And then you put the two together and put it on a national stage, and it gets pretty stupid. And it was kind of stupid on Sunday. James, I told you before we started recording, I actually watched it delayed for the first time. And was happy that I did because I could skip through some of the silliness and watch the, I mean, shoot, I don't know that we have the stats. NASCAR didn't give us the stats. There were 12 cautions for 66 laps in a 150 lap race. Oof. And I swear there were a couple stints that were 10 laps under green, but for the most part, there wasn't. And it's not like when you race at a big track like Texas, where you can have a wreck in the back of the field and wait for it to clear before the leaders come around and not throw the caution. It's 15 seconds and the cars are there at the very least. So you kind of have to throw the caution for just about anything, especially if it's at the back of the pack, because the leaders get there even quicker. So,
yeah. And when you got guys wrecking each other on purpose and all sorts of other stuff,
right.
It's a good, real good time.
I did enjoy the fact that, Daniel Suarez is listed as disconnected on the results from NASCAR. And Kyle Larson is listed as disqualified. However, both, my understanding, were parked.
Both got kicked out. Yeah. What did they put for Bubba?
Bubba is disconnected as well. Bubba was last, 32nd. Then Eric Jones was also disconnected. Chase Elliott was disconnected. Chase Elliott wrecked bad. He was upside down. And
yeah, that graphic made its way around the interwebs too.
And then Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was disconnected in 28th. And Daniel Suarez, 27th, disconnected. So Ryan Blaney finished 26th. He was the last one running at the end. He ran 126 of 150 laps.
Oof.
But it's worth mentioning that William Byron finally got himself a win on his home platform, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Byron led 116 of 150 laps to get the win. Dominated it, basically. Nobody really could touch him. He was there all day and did a nice job. And in the theme of drivers that you know that you don't normally see up front continued. We had John Hunter Nemechek finish second. Timmy Hill got third place. Denny Hamlin was up there in fourth. Matt DiBenedetto was absolutely awesome. He was coming through the field. He had fresh tires at the end. It just makes me wish that we were racing the real Bristol, because DiBenedetto would have been there for the win for sure.
Yeah, he's going to be good when we do eventually get back to it.
I can't wait to get to Bristol with DiBenedetto in a competitive car. Ryan Preece, 6th. Parker Kligerman, 7th. Tyler Reddick, 8th. Garrett Smithley, 9th. Michael McDowell, 10th. Then we get to Clint Bowyer and Christopher Bell, Bobby Labonte, Alex Bowman. You start to get some of the bigger names. Kyle Busch finished 18th. He was running really well and kind of got taken out at the end. He did not lead a lap, but he was up towards the front and kept coming back and just got taken out. Dale Jr. got taken out as well. He finished 22nd. Brad Keselowski, 24th. He's pretty much kind of been non-existent on these things. But it was interesting. Again, I'd still rather have this than nothing, but it's making me really long for the real thing again.
Yeah.
Especially as angry as these guys were getting at Bristol in the fake world. I want to go back, man, and just have, I hope everybody gets back and they're just angry. I hope that some of these carry over.
Well,
I would love to see Kyle Larson and Daniel Suarez wrecking each other or bumping into each other, giving each other a hard time on the track in real life because of iRacing.
I don't think Kyle Larson's going to have to worry about Daniel
probably
Suarez.
Not. Probably not. Unless maybe the 15th time he laps him, but
maybe. Maybe.
But it's good stuff. So you heard in the beginning, you heard the intro, you heard Bubba's tantrum. So I don't know all the details behind it because there's a lot of writing on it this week, but Blue Emu came on to sponsor Bubba and who else did they sponsor?
Lanny Castle.
And apparently Blue Emu fired Bubba in the middle of the race. As soon as this happened, they basically said on Twitter that they don't sponsor quitters and they're done. And so I'm curious because Blue Emu is also an associate sponsor with Richard Petty Motorsports. And I have not heard officially whether that has been affected by this or not. I hope it hasn't. I mean, I get it. So here's the thing. I think Bubba is making it known a little bit. I think we've gotten to see some sides of Bubba that maybe makes it a little easier to understand why he's not in a top-notch ride, James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be pretty difficult to deal with. He seems to have quite a temper. Now, I understand that there's people like Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch who historically have been like this as well.
Stewart
still have top rides. Tony Stewart is a good one yet too. But, you know, I think that maybe their talent is above and beyond. It's enough that it can make up for the fact that they have the bad attitude, but maybe Bubba doesn't have that to show. I'm not saying he's not talented. I think he's talented.
I know.
He's not Kyle Busch level talented though.
No, but man,
Is he a championship cup driver? If he was in a Joe Gibbs car, could he win a championship?
Not right now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not right now. But, you know, Dale Jarrett wasn't a championship cup driver until, 39, 40 years old? So
Yeah.
I mean,
it was also a different era, though.
Oh, true.
Dale Jarrett doesn't win a championship in this era.
Yeah. Well, Bubba, probably not. Bubba Wallace is not Eric. Let's just compare him to who he's out there with. He's not Eric Jones. He's not even William Byron, probably.
Right. No.
But he had, when he was in the truck series, I mean, shoot, we saw it firsthand at Eldora. I mean, you don't win that race without having some skills. So,
right.
Now he can drive. Yeah. I just don't know if he can drive to his to some of his competitors, but
I just think that the negative attitude and Bubba will be the first one to tell you that he's not a positive person. He suffers with depression. You know, he's had issues. But I think maybe that's starting to show a little bit. I think we're getting this, you know, we kept talking about, we want to see these drivers' personalities. I think we've gotten a chance to see Bubba's personality since he's been with Richard Petty Motorsports. You know, he's done interviews. He's talked about his frustration with how the team performs and things like that. And it just, I don't know. I feel like as he's driving that 43 car, I understand Bubba's got a chip on his shoulder because he knows he's better than that car. But
yeah,
at the same time, you don't bash the team you're running for when you're running for him. And he's done that a couple times. So I don't know. I guess I don't see him being grateful for what he's got sometimes. And, you know, there was a clip I cut out of the intro.
He sounds just like our defending cup champion when you put any name.
Exactly. And so there was a clip that Fox had on their Radioactive this week where it was Amanda filming him after he rage quit. And he's still sitting at the simulator and he just turns the camera and he says, I need to get better at this or whatever. And it was kind of a little bit more of a humanizing thing. The only reason I didn't leave it in the intro is because the audio was way different and it didn't sound good. And I don't know if that was just him saving face for something that he knew he was going to take some flack for and Fox helping him out, or if it was legit. But I think Bubba realizes he does it and he just doesn't have control over it. And I get it. But then I also understand it from a sponsor standpoint or a team standpoint or people that have to deal with them too. So I don't know. I don't want to rip on Bubba. I'm a Bubba fan. I like Bubba. I want him to succeed. You and I have both been big cheerleaders for him getting the chance in Cup and seeing his career go somewhere. And he's definitely better than the car he's running. And I'd love to see him get a chance in something better. But but you know, you got to be grateful for what you got, and you got to don't bite the hand that feeds you either. And you know, so
can we just agree this is bad behavior all the way around? Bad behavior, temper tantrum, bad behavior, and it's not just Bubba. We've talked about Bubba, and that's fine. But Blue Emu, get your crap together, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing on social media?
No.
Corporate good behavior on their part either.
100% agree with you. 100% agree. They should be ashamed for this as well.
I'm gonna say it. Sorry, Sim fans. It's a freaking video game.
Yep.
And you know, Bubba, I know. Like, video games can be frustrating. I mean, shoot, I used to play, and
if they stuck a camera on me when I was playing Arca Sim Racing, oh my god, that's half the reason that my wife doesn't want me to do iRacing, because. Wait. I would run a race. I mean, I remember practicing all week to run at Pocono and Arca Sim Racing and getting wrecked on lap one because somebody went through the infield and didn't exit out of the game. They just kept full speed and ran through the corner and ran right through me. Mm-hmm. And I was so mad. I couldn't talk to her the rest of the night. She couldn't talk to me. I was a jerk.
Video games are frustrating.
Yeah.
I've been frustrated before. I mean, shoot. You hear people playing online. I mean, you should hear the way they talk to each other sometimes.
Well, and these guys have a competitive nature that is beyond what you and I have as a competitive nature. I mean, they're bred to be competitive.
Yeah,
that's...
and if you hate to lose, of course you're going to be mad. I mean, I hate to lose. Right. I hate to lose anything. I get mad at myself for the way if I go for a run and I have a bad run, I get mad at myself because I'm like, oh, that's not.
Yeah.
That's just, I'm better than that. Yeah, I can do better than that. I get frustrated. So
I guess I'm glad that you brought that up, James, because I now that you mentioned it, I did go about this the wrong way, because yes, Bubba had a tantrum. Yes. I mean, first of all, he rage quit. You heard what he said. That's it. And he shut off the thing. Who cares? Yep. He was my understanding, he was out of resets anyway. He's going to run around at the back. So of course he's done. Why would he continue?
Yeah. Why would he stick around?
So
if you've been playing a video game, a NASCAR video game or whatever sport video game, if you haven't gotten so mad that you're losing that you've restarted the game, you haven't played video games. I'm sorry.
And there's no money on the line. There's no points. So why in the hell would you run in the back of the field if your car's damaged? You just quit. I mean,
and why does Blue Emu care so much?
Right.
It's not like he did this in a real race. It's not like he cold trickled it because Gary's eating ice cream in the pits.
Let me take back everything I said about Bubba. Bubba did nothing wrong in this instance. I still stand by the fact that he can be difficult.
Yes.
But Blue Emu screwed
up
on this.
Yeah, it's just bad.
But they got publicity for it, James, and they got what they wanted.
Oh, Blue Emu got what they wanted.
Yep. Got their money's worth.
I think Blue Emu looks stupid.
Yeah. Well, I kind of thought they always look stupid.
They look worse than Bubba Wallace in this situation. If I'm looking at it the way I feel like hopefully most people are looking at it this way. I feel like they just got egg on their face.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I hope Bubba so too. I don't know that everybody is though. I think people are down on Bubba on it too, which sucks, but yeah.
I mean, I guess I know the optics of quitting are not great, but I mean, golly, it's just a game.
Yeah.
Just a game.
Yeah.
Now, if he did that real race, we could have a discussion about it. I just, whatever.
Do you want to mention this Ringer thing? Cause I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. So, I was just perusing the interwebs and, the Ringer was talking about, you know, the article's titled "The Games Must Go On" line, right?
Right.
So sports leagues are trying to figure this out, and really what they mention is the ones who are getting this right is NASCAR.
Yeah.
Of all the other leagues are trying to figure out this esports thing,
right?
And NASCAR is doing it the right way. And I was like, holy cow, we got a positive article from a pretty big website, The Ringer. So I won't go. You can click on the link in the show notes, but they got some feedback from Dale Jr. and some glowing praise from Dale Jr. on how this thing is going. Just compared to all these sports are searching for things to do during this outbreak. The NBA is not doing well with they have big name stars playing in a 2K online tournament, and NASCAR is pulling in by far the biggest ratings. Hmm. So. What NASCAR is doing with this iRacing thing is working.
We talked about it. This
engaged.
Our
it's great.
Sport is very much catered toward this.
Yeah, it translates.
I mean,
right?
it's perfect. And I don't know, man. I was reading up on iRacing stuff this week and looking at you can, I think it was like $500 to get a dash panel with all the switches, the ignition switches and everything that can map to the game. And like, I mean, it's crazy the stuff that you can get for this thing.
Do it. Pull the trigger.
I'm telling you, Trump is trying to get me to do it with the stimulus money. It's like perfect. I could, I get my $1,200 and then of course the boys, I mean, they're not going to stimulate the economy. So I get their money too. So that's another grand. So
the boys could do something with their stimulus.
No. Yeah. They could buy dad an iRacing wheel or something.
Yeah. Cause you got, playing the game, man. Yeah. You got the two.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure I could convince them pretty easily to chip in. I just have to convince the wife, and I think that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, we really screwed this up. We got pregnant way too early in the year. We should have had this baby by now and got that stimulus money.
Right. There you go.
I'm only kidding, people.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know. It's I mean, you got to take advantage of the kids. So
you're gonna have a rig in that apartment. I can't wait. If you get a rig, I'm coming over.
If I have a rig, James, you can come over anytime because chances are it'll just be me here.
Coronavirus or not, I'm coming over.
Like I said, it'll just be me here at that point. So
yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to see the whole thing just play out in front of me. The podcast would be done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The podcast would be done for sure.
Yeah. It would take all of your other stuff away. It'd be great.
Yep. Speaking of iRacing, so there's no point standings for the iRacing eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series. However, there have been some great sites that have decided to figure out what they would be if they were keeping points. And BeyondTheFlag.com has a point standings listed. Timmy Hill is your points leader right now with 108 points. Ryan Preece follows him, 13 behind. Garrett Smithley, Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin. Tied for fourth with Alex Bowman. Hamlin, your first winner. Dale Jr., sixth. Matt DiBenedetto, seventh. Let's see. Our former, our defending NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series champion, Kyle Busch, is tied with Bubba Wallace and Kurt Busch for 18th. Jimmy Johnson, the seven-time champ, 23rd with Kyle Larson and Austin Dillon. Greg Biffle brings up the rear in 41st after just running the one race. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I think Daniel Suarez is the furthest back of anybody who's run all the races in 37th.
Well, you got, yeah.
I believe Alex. I don't believe
up against the disqualifications every week.
Because Alex LeBay didn't race this week. So, and Alex Alfredo, Ruben Garcia, I don't believe they were automatically in either. Of course, Chase Briscoe is 31st, and he's not in the series anymore as they change things up for Bristol. So anyway, so that was kind of interesting. Obviously, there's different ways to do this, but if you go by the current point system, don't factor in stage wins because there are no stages, this would give you the points.
There you go.
So Timmy Hill, your points leader, 13 ahead of Ryan Preece right now.
Timmy Hill.
Yep.
The GOAT.
Exactly. Yeah.
With like it.
And so interesting note, Dale Jr. tweeted out that after last week's win, he reached out to two different people to reach out to Timmy Hill about setting him up with an iRacing rig. And Timmy said, nope, I like what I got.
That's awesome. I told you, I think I said it before the podcast last week, but him doing so well with what he's got makes the rest of these drivers look just like rich, you know what, man. I just think it's so great.
Uh-huh.
That's the best part of this whole thing is watching him in that little, I mean, that's the setup we could have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, it's hard to get that setup because the stuff is so old, you can't buy it.
That's fantastic.
But I tell you what, when I was doing ARCA Sim Racing, that was the wheel that I wanted. That was my next purchase. And then ARCA Sim Racing kind of tanked. The league I was in tanked, and that was the end of it.
That was it. I
don't remember why I didn't jump to iRacing. I think the computer I had might not have quite supported it. Or
you got married?
Something. Well, that too.
Yeah, there you go. That I can answer that question for you.
Yeah, that is true. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit of news, James. I don't think there's nothing else to talk about iRacing, right?
No, I think we're good, man. All right. Well, we got one more thing coming up, but then we'll.
Yeah,
I guess we could do that right now.
Yeah, let's do that. Well, let's. Dale Jr. is going to go IndyCar racing, James.
At Michigan
on Saturday.
I actually am interested in this.
Yeah, I'm going to try and tune in.
Yeah, I want to watch the IndyCars at Michigan. I don't care what it looks like.
I want to see IndyCars at Michigan in real life. So the last big two-mile track that they raced the IndyCars on was 2015 at Fontana.
Yeah, it was Auto Club
Speedway. It was out of control. It was basically, if you were to take Talladega and NASCAR and strip off all the body parts and safety gear that these drivers have and just have them sit out in the open for 500 miles, that's what California was. For
that was the end of it too, right? That was the last time they ran.
That was the last time they ran a big track like that.
They still run Pocono.
Yep. Which Pocono, we've had two major.
Yeah, we had a fatality.
Yep. And a near.
And Robert Wickens. Was it Robert Wickens?
Yep.
Pocono, yeah.
Yep. Speaking of which, Robert Wickens, I believe, raced last weekend with hand
controls. Yeah, he did. Yep. He's going to race again this week, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yep. He was in the hunt for a podium. My Twitter feed was correct. I think Jeff Gluck was tweeting about it. He was in the hunt for a little bit.
That's the craziest thing about this whole iRacing thing, James, is to go on the NASCAR Twitter and see all these people tweeting about a video game.
I know. It's crazy.
And taking it seriously, because it kind of is.
So Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson running at Michigan? Jimmy's been running the IndyCar stuff.
I don't know. I've not heard an announcement about
Jimmy. I'm assuming Jimmy's going to run.
I would assume so, too. This gets me excited because I really want to see the IndyCars at Michigan again. Probably will never see it again. It's a different world now, and it's not quite as accepted when somebody gets hurt.
And it's
worse.
Okay to see a crash when it's on virtual. So yeah. I'm curious to see how iRacing is going to react.
Yeah, like I like wrecks. I've talked about on this podcast before. I don't like IndyCar wrecks, and I would be scared to death to see an IndyCar wreck at Michigan. I mean, nowadays it would frighten me badly.
Think about what they did back in the day with those IndyCars. I mean, those guys are
they're insane. You have to be insane to get in one of those things to begin with.
Yeah.
On a big track like that.
Even like I remember the Dan Weldon stuff at Vegas, and I'm just like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that one, we could go into
there. I mean, that's just different. I mean, I'm not trying to say like, yeah, this is an amazing thing that happens. That's not what I'm saying. It's like, you guys are, I mean, that was such a scary crash. The fact that they even would get into the car the next time out for the next season is just, it's just mind boggling to me.
Yep. I agree.
And they do it. They just do it.
You know, in any car, definitely, and we're on a tangent, but that's what we do in this thing. Yeah. IndyCar definitely went through a period where they tried to get more exciting. They tried to do the NASCAR thing, tried to bring fields together, and just figured out. And I think Vegas was the culmination of figuring it out that it just doesn't work with an open wheel car.
You can't drive that way.
No, it's too on edge. They're too fast. And it's just, you know, you can bump at 200 miles an hour in a NASCAR car, in a fendered race car, and save it. And you just can't when your wheels touch and you go airborne.
Yeah, we've seen some nasty Texas crashes. And
It just doesn't work. As exciting as it is, but this is a chance for us to get to do that, see the excitement of it, and not risk anybody's life in doing it. So it'll be fun to watch. And there is no NASCAR iRacing race this weekend, so we'll get to watch the IndyCars.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Yep. Happy Easter. Let them do their thing. For that record, too, unless some big news breaks, we will not be back next week. We'll take a week off and then come back afterwards. So
there you go.
Who knows? We might get news and we might pop back on. But all right, let's talk a little bit of NASCAR news because there was some this week and one thing that we'll probably spend a decent amount of time talking about. But before we get to that, Adam Stern on the Twitter machine this week, breaking news as always, says that NASCAR is looking at their options, as you would expect them to be, as to when they're going to restart and how they're going to restart. Looking at scenarios with tracks of potentially running without fans, which I would be very shocked, James, if we don't run a couple races without fans to get the season started back up.
Yeah,
I really think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know the NBA and the MLB, and they're trying to do this, right?
Right.
All these sports leagues are trying to figure this out. NASCAR, man, that's still a lot of people.
I agree.
NASCAR doesn't have the same logistics as everybody else. It's not like an NBA team you can put a bunch of teams in a secure hotel room in Los Angeles or Las Vegas and you can play games, right?
Yep.
Same with MLB. They're talking about going to Arizona and playing all their games, you know, in small stadiums around Arizona.
Well, shoot, WWE hasn't stopped.
Yeah, WWE
just had their biggest pay-per-view of the year this weekend.
Yep, WrestleMania, man, yeah. With no fans. It was so weird, by the way. I've seen some of that stuff. It was weird.
I didn't get to see any of it, but wrestling without fans really is awkward.
It's weird. NASCAR without fans, I honestly,
we wouldn't notice.
Matter. No, there's no fan. I mean, Bristol is empty anyways in the spring. So, right. It's just like, man, it's just the amount of people it takes to do NASCAR races. I just can't see how they can do it.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I mean, you're going to be at a point where, you know, shelter in place orders are going to be out of effect. I mean, it's, we're going to be on the upswing of it. This isn't something that we're going to do in a week
maybe
or two.
Maybe in 2 weeks. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
but we're not going to Martinsville.
No,
you know,
right.
We're not starting in May. I I know people are still holding out hope.
No, we're not starting in May. I think June 1st, I think you might be, or June, the first week of June, you might be able to get something going and run without fans. That's what I'm thinking is, you know, this is going to be one of those things that we might be able to get a 2 week head start to run without
maybe
fans.
Coke 600 weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what this is. We're talking a way to start 2 weeks earlier.
And everybody's already in Charlotte.
Yep.
And you could, in theory, you could run maybe two race weekends in Charlotte or something where you have, even if it's, I don't know if you would even count the All-Star race. I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be.
Well, one of the temporary schedules or tentative schedules that we saw did not have an All-Star race on it.
Yeah. You got to maximize your weekends for championship races.
Exactly.
You can't have for show.
Nobody.
And the money.
There's going to be an asterisk on the season already. There's nobody that's going to notice that the All-Star race is gone if we cram the season in.
Yeah, yeah. I rather see the drivers run as many races as possible, whether we go to a 30-race schedule or not. It's going to be
At this point, honestly, take some of these races out and forget doubleheaders. Just run one race on the weekend and just cut the season down if you have to.
Yeah, and if they're going to run all these weekday races and stuff, it's going to be a battle of attrition with some of these teams. It's going to get interesting. I mean, somebody could really... You know, we could see some sort of a shocking champion, you know, maybe, I don't know. It's going to open some doors for people to have performances, or it's going to slam doors in people's faces. So,
right. April 7th, Adam Stern tweeted out that NASCAR has drawn up at least four potential schedules to get the sport restarted. The first one would be an 8-week delay, which would start at Martinsville. I think we're all pretty much in agreement that that's not going to happen.
That's not happening. Yeah.
10-week schedule, which would start at the Coca-Cola 600. Or 10-week delay.
Yeah, possible.
Right. 12-week delay would be unclear, but could possibly be Texas to start. And a 15-week delay, which would see us race into December.
So, kudos to NASCAR and everybody else who's trying to get this thing done.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really – I got to give them credit. Like, they have been so rigid with stuff over the years that this has forced them into – being creative, and by God, they're trying.
Yep.
So that's good. That's a good sign. That's good for our future scheduling too, by the way.
Right.
NASCAR is really, you know, like, we are flexible. We can do this.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, this virus is changing everything about the world that we know. You know, we're going to be in a new normal no matter what. And so be it for NASCAR too.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
My wife's trying to take the dog out. And she's laying on it underneath my desk, and she doesn't want to move. Dog's lazy. She's taken over the boy. The boys have these two bean bags, and Bella has taken them over. They are hers now. And so I took the comfiest one and stuck it underneath my desk here where I work all day.
You manipulated
her. In hopes of her hanging out with me, because I've been trying to win her back for years, trying to get her to be my dog, and it just hasn't worked. And it's starting to work, James. She's becoming my dog.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yep.
So
tell Kay to be careful. It's starting to snow again over at our house, which we had 65 degree weather yesterday.
It's snowing?
So. At my house it is.
It's snowing at James's house right now.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
There you go.
All right. What else we got? Anything else with... I don't know what we were talking about, the season. No.
No, I think the only other thing was Jimmy running another year. That was the only other scheduling thing.
Yeah.
We hinted at it last week, I think, right?
Yeah, and Jimmy kind of dispelled it a little bit with his press conference this week.
Yeah.
He basically said that
he wants to be done.
He just said he's not thinking about it. There's other things to worry about right now. He's not thinking about it.
I think he's coming back one more time.
I think he will.
I think Well, I think we're going to hit the reset button. And
he referenced it. It's not about him. It's about right. the fans that want to get that chance to see him at the. And I think you're going to run into a thing if we're starting to run races where we either cancel events or we run without fans. It's going to encourage him to come back even more, because
Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon said the same thing in their last seasons. They thought they were done a year earlier, and they came back for the fans one more time. Yeah. So,
and that, you know, it's cool to see Jimmy do that, especially somebody who just has not been appreciated by the fans through the majority of his career.
And guess what?
Like he should have been.
No next gen car next year.
Yeah.
Why not come back and run the car? I mean, Hendrick's showing promise.
Right.
Maybe another chance for Jimmy to, try to win. And that's going to screw everything up with free agency, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, remember when Kurt Busch had, 2 years remaining on his Roush deal?
Yeah. Well,
he signed that Penske contract.
Yep, and then there was the Casey Kane deal too. And Casey Kane,
oh, that was a mess too. Yeah,
Casey signed with Hendrick in a year later.
Yeah, he had to go to Red Bull for a year.
Yep.
Oh my god. Yeah. So yeah, what do you do with Larson?
Clint Bowyer did the same thing.
Yep. Clint Bowyer did that. He went to H. Scott for a year.
Yeah.
Taking over the 14.
Worst thing Bowyer ever did.
That was he ran.
You talk about Bubba being frustrated in his ride. Imagine being Bubba, but knowing you have a better shot next year.
Yeah.
Like you guys want to erase 2020. Bowyer wanted to erase that season. He just wanted it to be done.
He didn't have anything. Yeah, and he had no choice, though. There was nowhere else for him.
Exactly.
His ride at Michael Waltrip was gone.
Yeah.
That team folded. So
he probably would have been better off going and running the Xfinity Series for a year and then coming back to Cup.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. Poor guy.
I don't think he got any experience.
He did fine. He made out fine.
Yeah, yeah. Came out good. Let's see. Anything else we want to talk about Hall of Fame?
It's time to talk about the Hall of Fame.
Let's talk about Hall of Fame, James. So we got our nominees, right? Is that what we call them?
Yep, the ballot is in.
Ballot is in. We got our nominees for the 2021 Hall of Fame class. Here's what we got. So remember, we've got the Modern Era and we have the Pioneers. So Modern Era, we choose two, right?
We choose two.
And the Pioneers, we choose one.
And
that's how this goes from here forward.
That's
so,
right.
Modern Era ballot. We got Neil Bonnett, who I believe is already on there.
That's right.
Jeff Burton was already on there.
Yep.
We have newcomer, little-known guy, Dale Earnhardt Jr., 15-time NASCAR Cup Series most popular driver, 2-time Xfinity Series champion, 26-race winner?
28, I believe.
I knew it was 20-something. We have, speaking of, are you sure
Carl Edwards is 20?
I think Dale Jr. is 26. Pop up racing reference. Carl Edwards, also on the ballot for the first time. 28 Cup Series wins, 2007 Xfinity Series champion. Carl Edwards reportedly said he was shocked to find out he was on the ballot.
Yep. Dale Jr. is 26 wins.
Look at that, man. See,
nice
I know my
nice
Dale Jr.
You did good.
I was not obsessed with Dale Jr. when he was a driver, but now I am, James.
Oh, my God.
He's my guy. Yes. Junior Nation, man. Junior Nation.
He is your guy. He is your guy.
Yep. Fire up the Dale call. All right. Harry Gant is on the list again. Harry Hyde, Larry Phillips, Ricky Rudd. I believe the rest of these guys have all been on there. Kirk
Chalmerdine's back. He was off it, and then he came back.
Yep. Mike Stefanik. Pioneer ballot, we got Jake Elder, 3-time NASCAR Cup Series champion crew chief. Red Farmer, 3-time NASCAR late model sportsman champion, member of the Alabama gang. Banjo Matthews, he built cars that won more than 250 NASCAR Cup Series races and 3 championships. Herschel McGriff, 1986 NASCAR West Series champion. Ralph Moody, 2-time NASCAR Cup Series owner, champion, and mechanical genius. Holman Moody. Let's do Pioneer first, James, because this is the one that I think is going to be like, I don't know.
One's hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my pick.
So we got rules this year. So we used to do 5.
Yeah.
5 elections, right? Now we're going NASCAR. It's getting tight. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. But we're running out of people to put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
So we're doing 2 from the Modern Era and 1 Pioneer.
Yeah.
So we're doing 3 Hall of Fame inductees moving forward.
All right.
So here's our 1 Pioneer ballot.
I'm putting these on the notes so we can what the heck is the first thing called?
The first ballot, the Modern Era ballot.
Modern Era.
and the Pioneer Ballot. And then we have the Landmark Award, which is I'll just run through these really quickly.
Go for it.
Somebody will be taken from this. Janet Guthrie, Alvin Hawkins, Mike Helton. Hmm. And then Dr. Joseph Mattioli?
Founder Mattioli, of Pokemon, I believe.
Mattioli, thank you. Yeah. And then Ralph Seagraves. So there you go.
Okay. We won't pick from that group, or do you want to pick from that
group? No, I think Janet Guthrie's a lock from that group, by the way.
Yeah, you're probably right.
We're going to get our first female driver in.
Yep.
Or Mike Helton, I don't know.
All right, Pioneer. I'm going to pick first on Pioneer, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm completely 100% on sentimental value, but I was a Davey Allison fan. I am an Alabama gang fan, and I would like to see Red Farmer get in.
Yeah, you took my pick. I like Red. I've seen Red race a couple of times.
Really?
Yep. He ran. He used to run Tony Stewart's Prelude.
Nice.
Oh, yep. I've seen, and he still races. I've seen Red race.
That's cool.
And then so you took him. I think I'll take Jake Elder.
Okay.
Suitcase Jake.
Yeah. I think Ralph Moody's a pretty good one too.
Yeah, the Holman Moody thing. That's a pretty big. That's gonna probably be the sneaky. The sneaky pick there because that Holman Moody thing, people forget, or people don't even know probably that how great they were.
Right.
And they were prominently featured. I was watching a documentary on the 24 Hours of Le Mans, you know, the Ford versus Ferrari deal. Not that actual movie, but the documentary before that movie came out.
Okay.
And, Holman Moody was a big player in the development of the Ford racing program back in the day to get them even, you know, into Le Mans. So, that they're pretty historic and people don't really know about them. So, but Jake Elder, I want to give you some drivers that he crew chiefed, along the way. He didn't crew chief very long for many of them, but he crew chiefed quite a few. Bobby Allison is on this list. Mario Andretti a couple of times, AJ Foyt, David Pearson, Darrell Waltrip on a couple of stints, Benny Parsons, Dale Earnhardt, Terry Labonte, Ricky Rudd, Cale Yarborough, Sterling Marlin, Davey Allison. Those are just a handful of names that he crew chiefed along the way. Those are all Hall of Famers.
Right. I guess there's a couple big names in there.
There's a few. I mean, jeez. But they didn't call him Suitcase Jake for nothing.
Right.
I mean, you know. But he got most of his wins with David Pearson along the way. But, yeah, he won races with Davey and Morgan Shepherd. He's got a race win with Morgan Shepherd on that list.
Dang.
So, yeah, Jake Elder, man. He's something else as far as a crew chief. But pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've got any of these guys is a good choice.
Yeah.
I anybody who's on this list is deserving of going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. We'll say the same thing about the Modern Era ballot too. I can't scroll down the list of Modern Era guys and give you somebody who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys are all going in eventually, hopefully.
Well, here's the James worst take of the week. Okay. You ready for
Yeah.
This is
I bet you I know where you're going.
This is the weakest class we've seen so far.
Wow.
That's such a bad thing to say. It's not.
Really?
Listening. Yeah, I know. I know.
Man, we've got two really big names on there.
We do not have a Cup Series driver champion up for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but.
I find that to be an issue. I find that to be a problem.
Yeah, but you've got two on there. That should have been.
No, people can come at me, and that's fine. And if you guys are mad about that.
By the way, my two on there that should have been are not including Dale Jr. My two that should have been are Carl Edwards and Ricky Rudd. Both should have been champions, in my opinion.
Oh, Carl Edwards. Well, let me.
Carl Edwards is a Cup Series champion. He just didn't get the trophy.
He tied for one.
Right.
And get the trophy. He was. Man, he was so close a handful of times. His first full-time season, you know, he finished third in points. Finished third. That was Tony Stewart's first championship.
I was at his first Cup Series race.
Yep, I think I was too.
Yeah.
I was there for that race. Yeah, at Michigan.
Yep.
In 2008, he came within, and this is the old point system, he came within 68 points? Yeah, 69 points from beating Jimmy Johnson. He wasn't really a factor, but he was still, I mean, that he could have won the championship. And then in everybody remembers 2011, obviously, that was, he tied Stewart, and he averaged, 9.3 average finish for the season. He was fantastic that year. And then in 2016, his last race, he was dominating and about to win his first championship and got wiped out on that restart and never got a chance to claim his title.
Yeah, that was his title.
That was his title. That race was his title. He retired at 36.
That was his title. I mean, seriously, James, I know you're a Tony Stewart guy, but that was his title too.
Yeah, but Tony Stewart Tony Stewart.
Tony Stewart had no business winning that championship that year.
Until he did, though.
Right, exactly. Until he made it. He did it in the playoffs. I mean,
Carl lost two heartbreakers.
Yeah,
that 2011 title probably hurts worse. I don't know that 2016 title though. That was his race.
You talk about the butterfly effect. I mean, that's one flap of the butterfly's wings in Carl Edwards' two-time Cup Series champion.
Carl Edwards never got to his racing apex. He retired at 36. He didn't even get to the best season of his career, which would be 39.
You want to know what the travesty is of this whole thing? So we're talking about Carl. We're talking about him as a Cup Series champion, even though he didn't win it. Basically cementing the fact that he's deserving of getting in, and I don't think he gets in.
He's not going to get in on this first
ballot.
He's boxed out. So, he should be. Well, here's the thing, though, too. When I say this is the worst, I feel so bad saying this. It's not right. It's not right. I know it. I know. But take it in context. When I say this is the worst class, like, that's the point right there. There's no, man, I don't know.
Any other year, Carl Edwards gets in this year, but Carl Edwards isn't going to get in because they cut the field down.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans. I really am. I'm really sorry for saying this. He's not a first ballot guy, but he's going to be a first ballot guy.
But he is.
He's not.
Yes,
he's
he not. Is. He is. He's not.
He'll be.
He's two races behind Carl in race wins. Now, albeit Dale Jr. retired, Carl Edwards Dale basically Jr. stopped in his prime.
Joe Jr. competed realistically for one championship.
But don't, again.
20 years ago.
This almost. Is the Hall of Fame. Who right. is the most famous driver ever in the sport?
I get what you're
Dale
saying.
Dale Jr. outranks his dad in fame in this sport. Well, he does.
Not
because of ability. Yes, he does.
Not number of people. I don't agree with that.
Baloney. No. Dale Jr. carried this sport when his dad died. Yeah. No, he got Dale fans Jr. that were not Dale Earnhardt fans.
I don't know, man.
Yep.
Dale Jr. oversaw
more famous
the
than his dad.
I don't know.
Yep.
Nope. Dale 100%. Earnhardt. There. No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
I'm not doing it just to rile you up. I believe that. Now, deserving of, in my opinion, deserving of Hall of Fame. I do think he's first ballot. I think he's deserving of first ballot. But between him and his dad, I mean, I would put his dad in a million times before Dale Jr.
Yeah, there's just a difference between, to me, and these guys are all Hall of Famers, and it really doesn't matter. We're arguing over semantics.
Exactly.
Right? I just think a first ballot guy, when I think of first ballot guy, I'm thinking of guys who've done pretty much everything. Championships, big race wins. The whole gamut.
Yeah.
And like Mark Martin got in on the first ballot too. And I don't think Mark Martin's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Sorry. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. You don't have a championship. I know Dale Jr.'s got Xfinity titles and Daytona 500s and everything else. Right. But man, to be the greatest driver, to be on that list,
Okay. Are we doing the two that we think are going to get in, or are we doing the two we want to get in?
We can do pick any two you want.
Let's do two we want.
So I'm going to do one that I...
No, let's do two we want, because I want to see you pick against Dale Jr.
I can't.
Because I want to be the most popular person on this podcast. So you pick against Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I'm sorry, Dale Jr. fans. I really am. Like he is a Hall of Famer. And I like Dale. I'm not trying to be a hater. I really am. I'm really not. I just want to have, and I think we achieved this. I just want to have a legit discussion about this, like a real discussion about this.
I agree. I think it's worthy of a discussion. I think you're wrong, but
that's fine. That's fine. And we can be wrong, and that's cool.
I can't find anybody on this list.
Eric, who is the better?
I cannot find anybody on this list that is more deserving than Dale Earnhardt Jr. to go in the Hall of Fame this year.
Eric, you're starting a team, and you've got two guys in their prime.
But that's not the point. Okay.
No. Let me ask you. Okay. I want to hear.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Ask this question.
I want to ask you this question. So you're picking off this list. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving you the modern era list.
Yep.
And I'm going to give you two seats.
Okay.
Okay, so we're basically picking drivers for the Hall of Fame, but I'm putting them. I want you to, as drivers. I want you to think of them as at their apex drivers.
Okay.
Who are you putting in those seats? And I want you to pick them in order. I want your first pick. Who would you win a championship with if you think you had everything?
That's not fair.
Why is that not fair?
Because it's not all about winning championships.
Who's the best driver?
That's not what it's all about, though.
Who is the best driver?
I'm a team owner. I want to do what's best for my team. My first pick is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
What?
He's going to bring me sponsorship. He's going to bring me money and merchandise. And he's going to go out there and he's going to run well. And Dale Jr. in his prime was pretty darn good. He wasn't bad, James.
He wasn't a bad driver in his prime. I do agree with
especially
you.
Especially in, you know, if let's change what happened in Dale's life and Dale Sr. doesn't pass away. They continue working on Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. Dale Jr.'s a completely different driver. Dale Jr.'s got a championship, I think.
But Eric, he went to Hendrick Motorsports at the peak of Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah, but it's different. It was different. I don't think he was in his prime. Even though he did better at Hendrick Motorsports than he did at DEI, I don't think, I don't know.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. went to Hendrick Motorsports in 2008 at the age of 33.
I think Jr. is better at DEI, and I think he would have. I think what happened at DEI that he went through after his dad died in the deal with Teresa, I think beat him down to where he wasn't as good of a driver.
Oh, it definitely changed him psychologically. I agree with you there. I am on board with you there. That dude went through what nobody else could, and he came out the other side. Who else could have handled what Dale Jr. handled under that month's pressure?
Right.
I wouldn't want that pressure on my life.
I mean, if we're strictly talking about wins, if we're strictly talking about who is going to get me the most wins, I would pick Carl Edwards and Ricky Rudd. If we're talking about overall who is going to do the best for me as a team, I pick Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Ricky Rudd. Yeah, I think Dale Jr. first.
I think the two best drivers on this list in order are Carl Edwards and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Those
really?
Are the
you
two
think,
best drivers.
You think Dale Jr. is better than Ricky Rudd?
I do, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think Ricky Rudd was better than Dale Jr.
I don't think so.
But Ricky I was a Ricky Rudd fan back in the day, so that might play into it.
Yeah, Ricky Rudd raced a long time, and, you know, Ricky Rudd did run his own team for a while.
Right.
And that probably, you know, knocked some of his stats down just a little bit.
Ricky
but
Rudd
I think
is in a different era, too, when not everybody was his equal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was definitely disparity.
Yeah.
You know, I figured we were going to disagree a lot. I did not think we were going to disagree this much.
Yeah, well, Dale Jr. is a complicated figure for me.
I know.
I really like Dale. I really do. I really like Dale. I just, man, and I know if you guys are Dale Jr. fans and you're listening to this, you guys got to hate me. But, and that's fine. And that's cool. I mean, we can disagree. I feel like we can get along and disagree about our drivers. That's fine.
Guys, seriously, if you're listening to this, give us your opinion. Tweet us on this.
Yeah,
James Cush at James Cush on Twitter at T Super Speedway for me. Give us a tweet. We want to hear what you have to say about this, and we'll revisit it if you guys have some good comments.
Let's see some response.
I mean, I'm not saying go rip on James, even though you probably should because Dale Earnhardt Jr. But no, seriously, I want to know your opinions. I want to hear where everybody else stands on this, and try to take because to me the Dale Earnhardt Jr. thing isn't about that. Specialness of him being an Earnhardt, blah blah blah, because that didn't matter to me. As a matter of fact, it probably made me less of a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan because of it, because it irritated me. But I've come around with to Dale Earnhardt Jr. and I recognize what he's done for the sport. And I'm not saying James doesn't. He certainly does. It's just
I understand this.
His criteria for the Hall of Fame is different than mine, and I get that. That's the thing. There is no official criteria for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and you're right. And Eric, I can't argue with you on that. Yeah, there is not much criteria for Hall of Fames. Right.
And there shouldn't be. I mean, that's why this is a debate. If it was just all on stats, we wouldn't have a vote.
Yeah. And here's where I come from, though. I value winning at the highest level. I think more maybe and maybe
but that's
I
not fair though because you'll never I mean
but maybe I overvalue that.
So here's
but I feel like here's the thing, Eric. I feel like great champions will find a way to win and win championships.
Right.
Even if it's somebody like I want to give you a decent example here. Brad Keselowski might be a good example, right? Mm-hmm. Great driver, and he found a way to get a title. He hasn't gotten another one. It's actually probably – he's probably undervaluing his career at this point because he doesn't have that second championship. Mm-hmm. But when he came on board, we thought that guy – we didn't see Brad Keselowski becoming a champion.
Right.
But he is so good at his craft, and he was with the right team at the right time, and that team elevated into a championship. In the Jimmy Johnson era, I value that championship very highly.
So I know your answer to this question, and we're going to disagree on this. Let's say Brad Keselowski is eligible for the Hall of Fame right now.
He's in.
Him and Dale Jr., you take Brad over Dale.
Yep.
Nope. Don't yep. agree. I would take Dale over Brad.
I take
Brad even without over the championship. And I 100% agree the Cup Series championship locks you into the Hall of Fame. But I would take Dale Jr. over Brad first. Now,
Dale Jr.
I would take them both.
Yeah, but Dale Jr. is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I mean, I keep going back to this. Dale Jr. is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I'm not debating
right.
that part of it. I'm just saying, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer compared to this class. He's in. He's
yeah.
getting in. And he's going to be a great Hall of Famer, and he's a great ambassador for the sport already. We don't need him to be a Hall of Famer for him to be a great ambassador to the sport. He's already doing it.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I don't know. And Dale Jr.'s got championship pedigree. He does. It's in the Xfinity Series,
yeah.
and that matters, and he's won the Daytona 500.
Well, and he had a championship coming in the Cup Series. He wouldn't have dropped the S-bomb in Victory Lane at Talladega. That was his downward
probably.
Spiral right there, man.
Probably, yeah. But even, you know,
down
even,
in the freaking Janet Jackson PC era of
yeah.
of everything, just come on, man. The S-word
yeah.
cost him, what is it, 25 points or 50
points or something.
It was
yeah.
a lot. It was it took him from the points lead.
Yeah. Yep.
Ridiculous.
That Dale Jr. run at Hendrick, those first couple of years, he figured it out. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God he did. But people will forget. And when we mean we were in the middle of it, Eric,
mm-hmm.
those first four or those first 3 years at Hendrick, boy, those were dark times, man.
Yeah.
Those were dark days because he was lost.
Yeah.
But Steve Letarte resurrected that dude.
Yeah.
Got him back. And he won that 2014 Daytona 500, and all of a sudden things started happening. He was getting, you know, lots of top tens. And I know the head injuries affected him too towards the end, but
right.
Man, yeah, that was a good discussion, man. I really love the Hall of Fame ballot because we usually get into it a little bit.
Well, and we're not done yet, James, because we still have to make our picks. So
yeah.
What we're going to do, we're going to pick who we want. Pick who you want. So if you pick against Dale Jr., go for it. You have to want Dale Jr. to
somebody
win,
above Dale
class.
Jr.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who do you want? Who would, if you were the sole vote and you could have it your way, who would you want to be your top two?
I don't want to sound like a futurist here or whatever. I think that Harry Gann eventually gets in. I think Ricky Rudd gets in. Jeff Burton probably gets in. Jeff Burton's on the bubble for me.
Yeah. I don't honestly, you know, I take back my statement earlier about Hall of Fame. I could see Jeff Burton not getting in the Hall of Fame.
He's on the bubble.
Yeah.
He's on the bubble. He doesn't have like even a Daytona 500 to his name or anything. He's got the Southern 500, couple of Coke 600.
I think
he's got big race wins.
I think Neil Bonnet only gets in because of what he did with broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's probably a bubble for me too, actually.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, man. The two best
guys.
Then
I say that and then I want to put Harry Yan in. So I don't know.
Yeah. So my two guys out of this class here, I think it's close for my second person, but I think of this class, I think I'm going to go with Carl Edwards.
Okay.
Because he's the best driver in this class and he outranks Dale Jr. And then it's tight. This is going to sound terrible. Kirk Shelmerdine, okay. I think, as a crew chief, he can get in. I don't know if we need Dale Jr. and Carl Edwards at the same time. If I could pick, it's Carl and Kirk, because Kirk's a four-time champion as a crew chief. That's, I mean, I know those are Dale Earnhardt's championships too, but
right,
he should be in eventually at some point.
Okay. I like the fact that you just picked two different drivers than I would, or two different people than I would pick.
Yeah, Kirk Shelmerdine was a driver, by the way.
That is true. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
He was a starting part guy towards the end, but I wonder how many championships he could have won if he would have just stuck it out with Dale.
Yeah, I agree. It would be interesting. So, yeah,
crew chief.
So my first pick is Dale Earnhardt Jr., no surprise.
Yep.
I want Dale Jr. to get in. I think he's first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think if Dale Jr. is
he's
not
on my list, by the way. You know, if between him and Kirk, I would go between those two.
If Dale Jr. is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then we should just scrap the Hall of Fame.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, let me say this.
The only way Dale Jr. doesn't go in as a first ballot Hall of Famer is if he's against somebody like Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Richard Petty, or Dale Earnhardt. That's it.
So, okay, Eric, I got another
Tony Stewart. Dale Jr. goes in ahead of Tony Stewart.
Oh my God. So yes. let's say
I don't know about that. Maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. I was just gonna ask you.
Because I really do respect everything. But the reason I respect Tony Stewart though is, and we've talked about this when he got in, is his is about his overall motorsports ability. In which case, we're not talking about overall motorsports, we're talking about NASCAR. So maybe I would put Dale Jr. in ahead. I don't know.
He does have three championships.
Yeah, you're right.
Here's what I was going to ask you. Is Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Matt Kenseth all are eligible at the same exact time. On this modern era ballot, you have to take two out of the three.
Oh, it's not Matt Kenseth.
Boy.
Not Matt Kenseth.
Dale Jr. is definitely more famous than Matt Kenseth.
But Matt Kenseth only has the one championship. Only one championship. But Jr. almost has a championship.
But then Carl Edwards almost has three.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to hand out participation awards.
But it's not about, it's not the almost championships. It's all the other stuff that he did.
It's exactly it. Yes.
So
yep,
anyway, Dale Earnhardt Jr. My second pick, I think it was a travesty that he didn't go in last year. And he's a 9-time NASCAR champion. I think Mike Stefanik should get in.
Oh yeah.
Mike Stefanik's my other pick. And you know, Mike Stefanik
passed away.
Yep. He passed away. I also have a soft spot in my heart for that interview after the
yeah, me too.
The race on the backstretch of Daytona when he was just ticked Battle right off. Yeah, after getting wrecked.
Mike Stefanik's a great. He's great. I have no problem with that. Nine championships in NASCAR.
I thought he should have gotten in last year. I was disappointed that he didn't. So
man, passed away. Yeah. Oh man, I know.
Yep. So
it's like you know, the NBA announced their Hall of Fame, and it's one of the great classes of all time, and it's Tim Duncan with Kevin Garnett and Kobe, and Kobe's not going to get to have that speech.
Yeah.
I think about that, like, man, he was so close to being able to enjoy that moment, and he's not going to get to it. It's so strange.
Yeah.
So maybe Mike Stefanik does get the nod. Maybe it's Dale Jr. and Mike Stefanik.
I'd like to see Stefanik get it.
Because Dale Jr. is getting it.
And there's Bella agrees.
Bella agrees. Dale Jr.'s in.
Now, let me put it this way. Let me go back on everything here and say that if – I know I just said it would that they should scrap the Hall of Fame, but if Carl Edwards got in and Dale Jr. didn't get in, I wouldn't be like distraught. Carl Edwards certainly, again, from an ability standpoint, deserves it more than Dale Earnhardt Jr. does. I just think from an overall standpoint, what he did for the sport, whether it was Dale Jr.'s fault or not, it wasn't. Dale Jr. didn't wish to be the most popular driver, but I just think what he did, what he carried of the sport, I think Dale Jr. just deserves to be in on the first ballot. And I think just about anybody he goes up against, he's going to beat. So, and I mean, we know it's going to happen. The guy won 15 most popular driver awards.
Came down to Carl versus Dale Jr., I would actually probably in this exact scenario we're looking at,
you gotta
put Jr. in over Carl. Mm-hmm. You just have to, have to.
Yeah.
He's the right pick for right now. Carl can get in later.
Yep. Agreed.
So.
Oh, with that, James.
Came on even ground right there at the end. We brought it all together.
Yeah. That was a longer discussion than I thought it would be, but I like
it.
Good.
I was ready for it. I told you I was ready.
I love these Hall of Fame discussions. I really do.
Me too. Every year I look forward to the ballot. I really do.
Yep. Yeah, me too. I do agree with you, though. This is a pretty weak year. It's just we just don't have the star power on here that we have. And I think it's really stacked. And I actually honestly will be pretty surprised if it's not Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Carl Edwards. As much as it shouldn't be too modern, modern of drivers, I bet you it's both of them.
Yeah, I can't. You shouldn't put Carl in this class.
One of the two needs to not go in this time.
No, Carl, it's not one. It's Carl. Carl needs to wait. Carl does need to wait.
But I don't. I think he might make it.
Man, can you imagine if he'd gotten that championship in 16? How we would have think of him so much differently, and then walked off.
Definitely.
A totally different discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know,
he's just out. Like, he was on Moody's show this week, and that's the first time I've heard from him in, what, Eric, 2 years?
Yeah.
We don't hear from him.
I was really hit and miss with Carl. I really like Carl at times, and I really dislike Carl at times.
Yeah, you rubbed me the wrong way at times.
But I miss Carl. I really do miss him in the sport. He was a great personality for our sport. He was funny. He was entertaining, but he was passionate.
Great driver.
Yep. Yeah,
he's one of the hardest working drivers. I mean, fit as hell.
Yeah.
Hardworking driver.
That was the biggest shock that I've heard in years of this sport was when Kyle wasn't coming back. That really surprised me.
Yep.
Completely unexpected. Even when Reddit predicted it, I still was surprised.
Must not have enjoyed those last years at Gibbs. He was just done. Yep. He's got other interests. That's fine.
Yeah. More power to him.
Yep.
Good for him.
Totally. Yep.
All right, James, anything else?
I think that's it, man. I think we're good.
Do you got any shout outs this week?
I want to shout out the Positive Regression podcast with Alan Cavana and David Smith. If you're listening to this, you should be listening to that. Those guys are really smart. So they had a great
episode. They're like the anti-Super Speedway podcast.
Yeah, exactly. They use data and all sorts of other stuff. If you're not listening to that podcast, you're missing out. They have some really good stuff. David Smith is so smart. And Alan Cavan is just really good as well. But they did an episode on Dale Jarrett this week, and it was just fantastic. Just talking about his career and how he came out of nowhere to win a championship and how he just kind of put a yeoman's effort into, you know, becoming a great driver. And he did at the end. He was a statistical anomaly, and it was really, really good podcast.
Nice. I don't have any shout outs this week.
I'm trying
to think if there was somebody or something that struck me over the week, but I really can't think of anybody. I'll shout out NASCAR Chasm because he's up on my Twitter feed right now. He has a picture of Denny Hamlin's rig, and I don't know if this is true or not because I can't really see it very well, but it appears to be that Denny Hamlin has pre-programmed apology buttons on his rig.
so he can just hit
the button and apologize for stuff during the race.
Right.
Which I get. I understand. I've been there. So
that's funny. Fantastic.
And NASCAR Chasm's a good follow on Twitter. He's good humor. Sometimes he gets annoying, but for the most part, he doesn't cross the line too much. He's pretty good. And he's got stuff on NASCAR.com and stuff too, and NASCAR Chasm, but
oh yeah, we got to meet him before he took off.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yep,
at Eldora.
Yep,
he was a cool dude back then. He just hasn't quit. He's relentless.
Yep, I've seen him a couple times. He's always been really cool. So, give him a follow if you don't. NASCAR Chasm on Twitter. And
there you go,
James. If they want to follow you, where can they find you on Twitter?
At James Cush on Twitter. Dale Jr. fans, come on.
there you go. You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. If you want more of the podcast, you want to check out the show notes. We've got links to all the articles that we discussed today and past podcasts. You can do that at thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe. We had a steady dose of listeners still during this impromptu coronavirus off season. So we appreciate everybody who's listening along, still getting your NASCAR fix. Today we actually discussed NASCAR for the most part through the whole thing. So that's pretty good.
I loved it. I felt rejuvenated with the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Well, in that case, we're going to take next week off. again, if we get some news or something, we'll pop on here. But, for right now, the plan is to be off next week. We'll come back the week after, talk some more iRacing, and hopefully maybe have a little bit better glimpse of what the season's going to look like and, start thinking about getting back to racing. I know we still got some time, but, I'm ready, man. I'm so sick of sitting here. It's It's just, it's,
I want some sort of sports back.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Give me something.
Yeah. I would probably even watch baseball right now. I would watch basketball, James. That's how desperate I am.
Yeah.
For
I'd like to see the NBA come back too. Yeah. I'm in.
Are they still golfing? Cause maybe I'll turn some golf on.
They're trying to, but golf's all been pushed back into, we're going to have a crazy fall. It's going to be great.
Ridiculous.
We're going to be a lot of sports in fall. It's going to be awesome.
If you want to become a part of the show or help us out, you can do that at Patreon. Become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. IndyCars race on Saturday this weekend. No NASCAR race, but everybody go and well, don't hang out with your family. Stay home. Maybe get on Zoom or Skype or one of those things, FaceTime, and chat with your family on there. Stay away from them, though. Stay healthy. Let's keep the social distancing thing up a little bit longer. Stay out of the grocery stores if you can. And just stay healthy, and we'll get back to this racing thing in a little bit. So no racing this weekend officially for NASCAR, but everybody happy Easter, and we'll be back in a couple
happy
weeks
Easter,
to talk with you some more. Yep. All right. Oh, there we go. We're done.
That's why I don't take this crap seriously. I'm out.